Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints. And today we're going to draw upon the wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the Magisterium on the topic of hell to help us navigate this very difficult, uncomfortable truth.
I thought that was just a construct of our imagination.
The hell.
Yeah, I thought that was something people made up just to keep us in line.
Right. I actually addressed that in the book.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
this must be an important show because this morning has been rough.
Yeah.
So lots of warfare pushing back on this. And so anyway, super important topic. We're talking about this.
So obviously, I recently wrote a book with Patrick O'Hearn called The Truth About Hell Through the Wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the Magisterium. Interestingly enough, probably the most uncomfortable bit of writing that I've ever worked on. Mm. At the same time, I was kind of rereading, preparing for the show. It has a glorious, beautiful, contrary reality, if you will. Because what is salvation? Like, what is it to be saved? You know, what is it? And I think, you know, when there's nothing to be saved from, or we're only, you know, sometimes a modern version of salvation is just be a better person,
right?
Like be the best version of you, or, you know, something like that. But that doesn't get you to heaven. It's sort of like saying, you know, I think of salvation as an analogy, and I even use this in the book. It's a child is walking out into the street, into a very busy street, and mama screams at the top of her lungs and runs, yelling, don't, stop, right? What you've done in saving that child is from that child being either completely destroyed, killed,
or maimed for life,
dismembered, you know, whatever would happen. Something absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
And what is all that yelling about? What is all that frantic energy about? What's all that concern about? That's called love.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as I was, and I use this analogy in the book, is teaching about hell isn't to scare people. It's to reveal the love of God.
Yeah.
We're the little kid, you know, playing in traffic, actually, all the way out in. And God is saying, this isn't good for you. This has serious consequences. I have a better way. There's a safer path for you to walk on, and it's with me and in my protection. Would you walk with me?
And for our eternal joy.
Right.
You know, I've been reading in preparation for another retreat I'm going to be giving soon, Spes Salvi, you know, Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th. And, you know, he muses on the fact that sometimes we think of eternity as being something boring.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and if that's our construct of what heaven is, you know, no wonder we're like all rejecting it and going, no. I'm just gonna keep my head down and just do what I want to do and, you know, just make my life as comfortable and nice as I can because this is all there is.
Yeah.
You know. And the thing is, you know, there's so many people who are lost in that hopelessness. And so the church in her wisdom, and I want to hear, you know, like the clarity on the church's teaching on hell and everything, helps us to understand, no, there are real realities. It's kind of a weird way to say it,
but there are
realities that we need to understand. We need to have clarity on that. Holy Mother Church teaches us as a good mother these things lead to your destruction. These things lead to your salvation and joy.
Yeah.
Joy.
In this life and the next.
Right. In this life and the next. And it can be realized beginning here. So we have to have that clarity, because if we don't know where the enemy is, if we don't know the path that leads to our destruction, I don't know any of us that has such clarity to be able to always make it on our own.
Yeah.
We can't.
Yeah.
We need Holy Mother Church to help us with these truths and help guide us in the right path.
Yeah, it's interesting when you were talking about how people don't have a proper vision of any sort of beautiful reality outside of where what they're living. You know, I've lived in that hell, mm-hmm. if you will. I mean, it's nothing compared to hell. I mean, what we describe in this book, whether it's what Jesus speaks of as Gehenna and this, you know, this garbage dump that's always on fire and it never stops burning and it smells horrible. I mean, just, you know, all of the horrifying realities of hell. So that's not comparable to my worst experiences in life, but I've had some very, very bad, dark experiences, decades of them, mm-hmm. you know, string together where it was hard for me to conceive of a reason for all this and have a hope, you know, hope. Right. For the future. And then I, of course, came to know Jesus, which opened my eyes to this glorious reality that suffering is not in vain. There is a reason for everything. And that in the end of this very difficult life, and I will still say, though I'm very blessed, super happy to be married to you, very glad to have you home from a week of visiting your family in Costa Rica. Just beyond ecstatic that Jordan, our oldest son, is producing the show and living life. You know, just there's so many things to be joyful about. I'm healthier than I've ever been in my life, which is weird to say at 59, mm-hmm. just because of medical advances and exercise. And just so there's a lot of good going on. And I do, but to me, still though, there's this underlying sorrow regarding the world and its state and
yeah.
so many people that we love. And, but what softens that sorrow is knowing there's an end coming. And when that comes and we're prepared, we get to be with him in heaven for all of eternity. And all of this will have been worth it. And we'll understand then, you know, why
all
we had
the
to
battles,
go.
All the struggles, yeah. all the sorrow, all the tears, all the frustrations, all the hopelessness and the despair and the tears of the night, you know, we need these things so that we will look to him for hope
and to look up,
right? To look up to him and say, Lord, you know, I will allow, I will accept this crucifixion, this cross today,
yeah,
for love of you and for love of those I love, in hopes of a better tomorrow.
You know, I'm curious regarding your own life, and we've never talked about this other than I've heard you share it in your testimony. Mm-hmm. Before we met, you were, how would you describe your status before God in this now, looking back before we met?
Well, it's interesting to look back on it with some clarity, but I was going to Mass,
uh-huh.
But I had not been to confession in probably 14 years. So I was in a state of mortal sin.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, my understanding of reality was clouded.
Right.
You know, my intellect was darkened. I can look back and know that now, because I would have told you I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't fine. And you kind of continue being fine in quotes until the floor drops out from underneath you.
Which it did.
And then the Lord goes, nope. No, I'm going to bring clarity to all this. And it just about broke me. It really crushed me. But I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change it for a thing, because I needed to be broken and brought to my knees so that I could literally lay my life down in front of the Lord and cry out for his help. And he answered that prayer.
Yeah.
He answered that prayer. But I experienced a real type of hell. And I just say that openly for probably 2 full years.
Now, you said that you, I've heard you say that you were headed to hell and you were afraid you're going to take your kids with you.
I knew I was destroying myself. I knew, and I was going to ruin them in the process.
Yeah. But during that time, did you ever think about hell? Do you remember hearing homilies about hell?
Never.
Right.
Never. You know, and I didn't even think about hell. It was more of just the suffering, the crucible, the pain of what I was going through and understanding this. I mean, the Lord let me feel his absence.
Right.
He let me feel the consequences of the direction I was going.
Yeah.
And it was devastating. It was absolutely devastating.
You know, in terms of what you heard, and I listened to many homilies from your former pastor. We won't say his name so as not to say anything negative about him. But what I heard was a lot of intellectualization, a lot of, he was kind of interesting, but never, I would say never clear, never, you know, as clear or distinct or direct as Jesus or his teachings. And I suspect you never heard that one, you shouldn't be coming and receiving communion without going to confession. You never heard that you need to give your life to God and walk according to his ways or you're going to go to hell. You never heard a single word.
No, about prayer, about
any of the real Christian
life. Any of that. No, it was very intellectual. But I do have to say, even in that, there were moments of light because you knew I was moved by that pastor.
Yeah.
He was, there was truth in what
he wasn't. I never heard him say anything heretical.
There was truth. And he was compelling and he was a good speaker. And so that drew me like little drops of breadcrumbs, towards what I was longing for. And that just opened my eyes a little bit. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that helped me a great deal.
And when we get back from the great break, I'm interested too. So you grew up in a Catholic home. What did you ever hear about hell or about, you know, the message of Jesus that he came to save you, but that requires that we live in a covenant of love with him, that we're faithful to him. Mm-hmm. As he says in John 14, if we love him and keep his commandments, then he and the Father will come and reveal themselves to us and abide with us continually. Did you ever hear with any clarity an invitation to that reality based on the fact that if you rejected that invitation, at least as one of the factors, there's one compelling element is love. You know, God loves you and wants a relationship with you. And the other is if you reject this, you're actually choosing by definition hell itself, the pathway, at least the pathway to hell while you're alive and then certainly after death. So when we get back from the break, we'll continue this conversation. We're talking about the truth about hell through the wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the Magisterium, my most recent book that I wrote with Patrick Hearn. We'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about the truth about hell through the wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the Magisterium. So back to the question before the break for you. Did you ever hear in your Catholic home? And you know,
through my formation.
Yeah, and just to speak well, your mother has passed, and God rest her soul, good woman. Stepdad's still alive. Yep. Good man, deacon.
Very good man, deacon.
Yeah, very is an important addition to very good man. They came up in a tough era in terms of formation as well. But
right. So
did you ever hear in the home or anywhere about this message that, hey, you need to walk, you need to be an authentic disciple with Jesus, or there's going to be, or you're choosing an alternative path?
You know, my childhood, I'm a child of divorce.
Yeah.
And you know, different cultures, different eras. My parents, my mother and my biological father were 30 years apart. So that you had all those complications. He was not a Catholic. My mother was. You know, I started out in that kind of situation. You know, my mother actually baptized me when my biological father was out of town, which was very clandestine and, you know, spy-like.
Totally appropriate in the church, because you just need one parent.
Yeah. So, but, you know, those kind of things were going on. And there was an expectation that I would be Catholic, but there wasn't conversation about what that really meant.
Yeah.
You know, so I went to church, and I have very interesting moments. And I know this will make you cringe, but I have moments growing up in the church of singing Kumbaya.
Oh,
and
yeah,
really with all my heart, with all my heart.
And you have no idea what that means.
No, but right. I held hands with everybody around me, and I sang Kumbaya as a 10-year-old little girl. You
yeah.
know? And that was like, wow, you know, uh-huh. we're singing to God, you know. So there were moments of light. There were books in my room that would draw my heart to God and everything. But as far as discussions about that, there just really wasn't. My graces came through individuals, my grandparents, mm-hmm. who were very, very fervent Catholics, prayed the rosary every night together. He built a house with the chapel in the center of their home. And I think those graces there growing up from my grandparents are really what kind of covered me all through the tumult of the divorce of my parents and the lack of formation. You know, my formation was felt banners and rainbows and you know, and a lot of people can remember that, how poor our formation was. And good people, loving people. My aunt was my confirmation sponsor, and she certainly, I know we had conversations, but not about the realities of hell. It was more about, you know, just trying to do what the church was asking, you know, whatever the formation materials were. That was the extent of it. And I probably prayed 10 rosaries over the course of my childhood, all into adulthood. And now pray it daily and have consecrated to myself to Our Lady. But that, you know, that wasn't a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the formation, the understanding of there's a reality here, was not there. The formation around the tenets of the church was not there. The formation around the Ten Commandments wasn't there, you know.
Well, and you asked me, you know, you chose this topic this morning for the book, and you said, well, I'm going to ask you why you wrote it. And that's the answer.
Yeah.
Because I think that your experience as a Catholic is just, you know, with minor variations, is the experience of most Catholics, particularly in the ordinary form realm of the church, where the preaching and teaching can often be soft, if you will. But what I wanted to do was counteract that mm-hmm. with this book and undermine that, frankly,
mm-hmm.
And also give good priests, pastors, the tools they need or the courage they need. I was so happy to hear, you know, sometimes when you write a book and you hear somebody else is writing a book, like Dr. Lillis and I were writing Living the Mystery of Merciful Love about Therese, and then we heard you know, my Father Michael Gately was coming out with 33 Days to Morning Glory. And we were like, okay, should we really write this? And by the way, his book is remarkable. Yeah. Well, at the same time,
it's Divine Mercy, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, 33 Days to Divine Mercy.
Divine Mercy. Okay, yeah. Thanks. Well, our book is well, anyway, yeah. You're right about Gately's
book. Mm-hmm.
So I heard that Monsignor Pope was writing a book on the same topic, The Hell There Is. And of course, he teaches for the Abel Institute. And I'm thinking, great, this has got to be the Holy Spirit, right?
Right, that both of you were inspired to write this book, right?
Yeah, exactly.
On this topic.
And so I want as many of his books to sell as possible and as many as mine. Because, you know, if you don't understand from what you are being saved, I don't know if that's good English. If you don't understand that, then, you know, it's really hard to have a proper perspective on what it means to live a Christian life. You know, and I think a great parable to illustrate this is the parable of the unjust servant. That's the right title, but it's, everyone will know it when I say it. It's the guy who's has a huge debt to, you know, the one who he borrowed from, and he's begging for release from that huge debt.
Yeah.
And then he goes. He receives mercy.
Yeah.
And then he goes and chokes someone who owes him way less than what he owed, you know, mm-hmm. The guy who gave him mercy. And the Lord speaks in very severe terms about this, mm-hmm. this person. But what the issue is that he, as he's dealing with the second person, he's not doing it in light of what he's been forgiven.
Right.
As he's dealing with the one. And so I think in a way, and this may not be a good analogy, so I'm sorry if it doesn't work, but in a way, when people realize what they've been forgiven and they don't feel entitled to that forgiveness, mm-hmm. they just know how broken they are. They know they have chosen hell in their life. Mm-hmm. And that without Jesus, there's no way for them to get to heaven. When they realize that in its depths, they live very, very different lives than those who are just going along going, well, yeah, I go to church. I'm a Catholic. I don't kick puppies. I use turn signals. I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
And it's just not true.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that people understand that just because we're going to church, to Mass.
Yeah.
And you know, we're receiving the Eucharist, that's not living an authentic Christian reality. That's not love. That's not the fullness of the faith. So when we encounter the Lord in his mercy and in his just unfathomable mercy, and we receive that forgiveness for the way we've been living, and we encounter the Lord, we actually go through a second conversion. The first conversion is just becoming a Catholic,
sure.
you know, whatever that is. But there's that secondary conversion, and there's others. We can go even further. But that second conversion with the Lord is a true encounter with the living God. And it's not just that we're saved from that reality of hell, but we're saved for a divine purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that divine purpose is a person. It's a relationship. It's extraordinary, and it changes your life. And at that moment, you will spend the rest of your life ensuring that other people understand that burning in your heart that you don't understand. He loves you.
Yeah.
And he wants a relationship with you. And there is so much that he wants to give you if you will only surrender your heart and your mind, your life, everything. To him,
it strikes me the analogy of marriage. You know, mm-hmm. when I was listening to you, it would be like saying, "We have a good marriage if we get married." So call that baptism, and I come home every night.
Yeah,
but there's no intimacy, no conversation,
no life,
no depth of relationship,
right?
No new life.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is I'm doing something else than marriage. And in fact, interestingly enough, if a couple comes together and gets married and there's no intimacy between them, mm-hmm. and of course, using contraception is a mortal sin, so intimacy that's open to life, then that means, you know, that marriage could be declared, at least as far as my understanding, by canon law, invalid on that basis, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not an actual union. Mm-hmm. And so what we're talking about is we're and why I wrote this book is to for people to do an examination of conscience and really explore and look in the face of this reality and ask, am I truly following Jesus?
Is my heart given, using the analogy of the marriage, is my heart completely given over to the Lord? You know,
playing religious games in a little compartment of my life?
Do I have that intimacy with Christ? You know, my spiritual director used the term an uncontracepted heart.
Yeah.
Which I've loved that term. Because this understanding of, do I protect my heart? Am I controlling my life? Am I living in a little box that says, no, I'm gonna live over here and just kind of play, you know, Catholic. I'm gonna play and control my life in fear and in sadness, or am I gonna be completely open to the Lord, trust Him with everything, give myself over to Him as a true reflection of true marriage, and allow my life to become fruitful in Him, in
yeah.
Him,
yeah.
you know, for this, for His greater glory and honor, for the salvation of souls, for my salvation, for the salvation of others, because that's what He's calling us to. He's calling us to something that's so beyond what we can possibly imagine, so glorious, so life-giving, that it is truly heaven on earth. You know, not easy. Life's never easy. But true joy and true hope.
If you want to make a difference in the church and in the world, and I, you know, I don't write any of my books to not do that. So I, you know, but this one is important. People need to understand the gospel, the good message of Jesus, the kingdom of God coming, how it is we correspond to Him in that reality. Pick up and give away and tell people about, give to your pastor the truth about hell through the wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the Magisterium.
Okay, and with that, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May He preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.